Mission statement. It is on the screen for you to follow along. So just read along with me if you will. East Columbus Christian Church is a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. This is our mission here at ECCC. And if you're a part of the church, then this is what you need to be about. This is what you need to be for. This is what your aim should be. Being a community of followers that is devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we started a new sermon series that I have simply entitled Our Mission, and each week we've been breaking down our mission statement into smaller parts and just talking about what each of those means to us. So far, we've discussed that we are a community that helps to shape and engage and encourage one another, and last week we learned that we're not just any community, but we are a community of followers, and if we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, then our community needs to look different than other communities that are out there. Our community needs to be full of people who look more like Jesus. If that's not what we are about, then we might as well join some other civic organization like the Moose or the Eagles or the Water Buffaloes, whatever the case may be. Now, that might not be, that might sound like I'm dogging civic organizations. I'm not. It's wonderful to be a part of some of those things, but that is not where our service and our devotion and our love should come from. That shouldn't be what we're devoted to. We should be devoted to being a community of followers, like our mission statement says. So today, we are going to continue with that thought, okay? So we are a community of followers who are devoted to connecting and serving all people. But what does it mean to be devoted? What does it mean to connect and serve? And who should that include? I want us to dive into this and kind of discuss that for the remainder of our time this morning. So let's just look at this word devotion, first of all. We must be devoted. What does it mean to be devoted to something? Well, I looked it up in the dictionary, and the dictionary says that it means to be focused on a particular thing almost exclusively. So when you're devoted to a cause, and you believe in someone's causes or something's causes, then you work to achieve the goals that that institution or that cause or that person is striving for. When you are devoted to a person, you place a person's needs above your own. And the reason you are devoted to that particular person or that particular thing is because you love it. Or you love them. And I think an important question that we all need to ask ourselves today and every day is, how devoted are you? How devoted are you to Jesus? How devoted are you to His church? Not necessarily just this church, but to His church and the institution of the church. Because what I hear a lot of Christians saying these days is this: well, you know what? I love God. I really love Jesus, but I'm just not all that impressed with His church right now. Well, you know what? Jesus loves the church. Jesus died for the church. And if you are a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to be devoted to the church. You need to be devoted to reading His Word. You need to be devoted to responding to what His Word says. And if you are truly a devoted follower of Jesus, then that should spill out in every other area of your life, in the way you approach your job, in the way that you raise your kids, in the way that you approach your worship, in the way you treat your spouse, in the way you treat your co-workers. How devoted are you? If you were as devoted to your spouse as you are the mission of this church, how would that work out for you? It's a fair question to ask ourselves. If you were as devoted to your spouse as you were even to Jesus, How would that work out for you? I think you need to do an honest assessment of that, because we're devoted to so many things in this life that really don't matter. I remember one time I was visiting a guy in North Vernon, really cool old fella. His wife came to church on a regular basis. He did not come at all. He would not come at all. And his wife asked me, said, "Would you go by and visit him and just see if you can get him to come to church?" I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And so I'm sitting in his living room and I'm talking to him, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "Ask him why he doesn't come to church." And I argued with the Holy Spirit for a little bit and said, "I really don't want to ask him that question." And I really felt like the Holy Spirit was impressing upon me to ask him that question. I finally thought, well, what harm could it do? I'll just ask him, right? And his answer was this. Said, "Well, Ron, I like you. I like the church. I believe in God. But I have a really bad back, and I just can't sit for that long in a church service. I can't sit for an hour in a church service. It just hurts my back." And I felt the Holy Spirit nudge me again and say, "Ron, ask him this. Ask him, why is it that he can sit in the bleachers of a Jennings County basketball game on Friday nights for a couple of hours, but you can't sit in a padded pew on Sunday morning?" And I said to the Holy Spirit, "I'm not going to ask him that question." You know, I mean, I'm having this argument with God, saying, "I really don't want to ask that question." But then the Holy Spirit was kind of like, "No, you really need to ask him this question." I'm like, "Okay." So I did, and I asked him, and I called him by name. I said, "I saw you at the Jennings County basketball game the other night, and the game lasted a couple of hours, and those seats are hard wooden bleachers, and they don't even have backs on them, and church doesn't last nearly as long as what those ball games do, and the seats are a lot more comfortable." And then I went a step farther, and this might have been the Holy Spirit, and it might not have been. I said, "It seems to me that you're more devoted to the Panthers than you are to Jesus." And I sit there and waited for him to throw me out of his house. And his reply was, "I'll see you Sunday." And I went, whew. You know, I was relieved, because if you knew the guy I'm talking about, and Kendall knows him, I'm not going to mention him by name. A lot of people in here knows him. I was relieved for sure. And you know what? From that moment on, he was a regular worshiper at church until the day that he passed away. We had the opportunity to sit and talk, and I was able to say, "You know what, I used to be a lot like that. I was devoted to a lot of things that really didn't matter all that much." And I believe that on that day, the Holy Spirit used me to lead this guy that was more devoted to Jennings County basketball than he was anything else, to grow to know the Lord better. And as we talked about last week, going to church doesn't make you more of a Christian, but it allows you to learn some things and grow in fellowship and be encouraged. And he was a faithful worshiper until the day that he passed. And I was so happy that whenever I preached his funeral, I was able to share the fact that he grew closer to Jesus in his remaining days. When we say we are a community of followers who are devoted and devoted to connecting and serving, we're saying this is what we're committed to. This isn't an afterthought. This isn't just some side thing that we do when we have time. This isn't just something that we check off of a religious checklist box that we go through. You know, a couple weeks ago I mentioned how I felt that oftentimes our main goal, even as leaders in the church sometimes, is to just have church on Sunday morning. And I believe church is important. I believe worship is important. And while I feel we should be devoted to having the best possible worship service that we can have each and every Lord's Day, this is just a small piece of who we are. It's just a small piece of what we should be about. If we truly believe in our mission statement, then in addition to that, we need to be devoted to some other things as well. This is what the early church was devoted to in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is a reference as to what mainly happened in the church when they came together on the first day of the week. When they came together on the Lord's Day, the Bible says they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. You know what the apostles' teaching is? That's the Word of God. The early church was devoted to the Word of God. They were devoted to fellowship. And I understand it's been difficult in this last year to get together like we want to and to fellowship like we should. But when this is all over, we need to be devoted to fellowship. And this is more than just coffee and donuts. And don't get me wrong, I'm for coffee and donuts. But this is more than that. This is doing life together. This is being devoted to one another in this room, doing life together. This group of people that's gathered in this room, these are the people that outside of maybe our immediate family, and maybe some of you are even closer to people in here than you are your immediate family. I know I am. It's a devotion to the people inside this room who share common beliefs and common goals. And it says they were devoted to the breaking of bread. That's a reference to gathering around the Lord's table like we did. They were devoted to that. And they were devoted to prayer. These are the things that we need to be devoted to in our church service. And then our mission goes beyond even those things, and it is to connecting and serving. When I read what happened in the first church, when you read the first couple chapters in the book of Acts, it's absolutely mind-boggling what God was able to do with a group of people that just trusted Him, that just believed in Him, that were devoted to Him. Francis Chan, in his book, Letters to the Church, said, absent from this account, talking about the book of Acts, absent from this account is any attempt on the part of the early Christians to conjure up some sort of powerful experience. I think that's where we go wrong in the church today. We feel like we have to create this almost magical, moving experience for people. We don't see that in the book of Acts at all. Right? Absent from this account is any attempt on the part of the early Christians to conjure up some sort of powerful experience. They weren't strategizing ways to get people interested. After Jesus left them to return to His Father, they were gathering together to ask God to direct them and work through them. All these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer. And it was in one of these gatherings, Francis Chan says, that the Spirit of God descended on them and the entire church was launched as they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. He goes on to say, no modern church growth movement would take this approach seriously. Where's the excitement, he says. Sure, these elements are the basic building blocks, but do you really think you can accomplish anything with just the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer? After all, there have been many who have chased this simple approach without experiencing the awe that the early church felt. Nobody's trying to do this. It's a clear guideline of what we need to be doing. And nobody's trying it. We're trying to come up with lights and fog machines and great music and all of these wonderful programs. And you know, preachers have got to dress a certain way and look a certain way. And worship leaders have got to wear skinny jeans with rips in them and flannel shirts and all this kind of stuff just so we can fit in and reach people. We don't see that anywhere in Scripture where people were changing who they were just to try to reach a person or two. They devoted themselves to the things that God was asking them to be devoted to. And there's a key, here's what Francis said, there's a key word in this passage that separates the attempts of our modern church from the first church, and that word is devoted. The first church was devoted. The early church was devoted to what God wanted the church to do. The 21st century church, in my opinion, is not devoted. We fit church in where we can. We fit God in where we can. And no wonder the church, when we look at the church across the United States of America, no wonder it has become so powerless. No wonder it has become so sterile. No wonder numbers in churches are declining at alarming rates. It's because we're not devoted. No, we've got way too many people in our churches that they're just not devoted. And there are some devoted people in the church. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of people in the church that are just playing the game. As I said before, just checking off a box on their list just so they think, you know, if they do that, if they come to church more often than they don't, and they're just good to people and they're nice and, you know, they'll make it to heaven and they're just kind of fitting in some religious things wherever they can. Let me tell you something. That's not devotion. That's religion. And religion, like that, is what Jesus said turns his stomach. Lukewarmness makes him sick. You know, that's why he got on the Pharisees, isn't it? They were just playing this game. They were just being religious. They weren't devoted to God. They were devoted to their religion. More importantly, they were, more accurately, they were devoted to their position within their religion. And that's why Jesus hated what they were doing so much. Jesus came and he wanted to turn their lives upside down, and they were afraid of that. Remember last week we talked about how when Jesus comes into your life and you're really going to follow him, he's going to change your life drastically. And I think the early religious leaders in Jesus' day, I think that's what we saw in his life or in their lives, was that they knew that Jesus wanted to change some things and that they could possibly lose their position within their religion. And that's why they hated him, and that's why they wanted to kill him. He turned their religious institution upside down. He said, if you really want to follow God, if you really want to see God, he said, I'm Him. You've seen me. You've seen the Father. So follow me, and I'm going to radically change your life. And they didn't want that. They were comfortable with the way things were in their life. And honestly, I think that's why we don't follow him like we should. That's why we're not as devoted to him, because we're comfortable. We like our lives the way that they are. We've got everything in its nice little place, and we're comfortable with that. And we're afraid of what Jesus might ask us to change and ask us to do if we totally devote ourselves to serving him. And so we've got to be devoted to him, we've got to be devoted to the things that the early church was devoted to, and then we have to be devoted to connecting and serving. And that's the second part of our message today and part of our mission statement. Our marching orders here at ECCC, and really every church, if they believe in the Great Commission, if they believe the Bible, is to reach out to connect people to Jesus and get them into the body of Christ. But how do we get them connected to Jesus? Well, I believe the best way to connect people to Jesus is to serve them, right? We need to consider serving them first. And maybe, honestly, you know, we might have goofed up the mission statement when we came up with it. We probably should have had serve first and then connect, because a lot of times you're not going to be able to connect someone to Jesus. You're not going to connect someone to the church unless you're willing to serve them. That's what Jesus came to do, right? He came to serve, not to be served. And so we need to be a community of believers devoted to serving and connecting all people, because service oftentimes is what needs to happen before people will ever listen to what you have to say about Jesus. We need to love people enough to serve them. Again, if I can go back to what we talked about last week, the sooner we get rid of the me first attitude, the me first mentality, and start looking at the interests of others, I think that's when we're really going to start seeing some amazing things happen within the church. The sooner this church starts to put others ahead of our own wants and needs in here, that's when some powerful things are going to happen. The 26th president of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, was credited with this popular quote: "People don't care how much you know until they see how much you care." And most people who don't know Jesus don't give a hoot about what you know about Jesus until they know that you care about him. People who don't know anything about the Bible, they don't really care all that much. A lot of them don't. They don't care about the Bible until they see how much you care about them. And when you serve them in some way, their hearts become softened, and they're more willing to listen to what you've got to say about Jesus. I think sometimes, we feel like, because we've been blessed, some of you have been blessed with the gift of service, you feel like, well, that's inferior to some of the other gifts, you know, like, well, you know, Ron's able to preach, and Kendall's able to teach, and Spencer's able to lead worship. And we look at some of these more upfront types of gifts, and we think that service, the gift of service, is like some inferior gift. Guys, that is, are you kidding me? It's amazing what happens when people who have the gift of service actually serve. You know, because evangelism and the teaching and the preaching, they're not going to care about all that much unless service happens first. Without faithful Christians exercising their gift of service, these gifts of evangelism sometimes are powerless. The gift of teaching is sometimes powerless. We got to be the church. We got to show the community that we love them. Chuck Colson observed that when the communists took over Russia in 1917, they didn't come out and make Christianity illegal. In fact, in their constitution, they guaranteed freedom of religion. But you know what they did do? They made it illegal for the church to be the church. They said, oh, you can believe what you want to believe, but you just can't do any of the good works that you're used to doing. No longer can you fulfill your historic role in feeding the hungry and educating the children and housing the orphans and caring for the sick. They basically said, you're not able to do that. Oh, you can believe, you can meet together, but you just can't do these other things. You know what the result of that was? After 70 years, the church was basically irrelevant to society in Russia, because the church wasn't able to be the church. We must be devoted to serving one another. And I don't want to get all political, but I see some steps that are already starting to take place within our society. That's like, oh, they're not going to come right out and say, oh, you can't meet together as Christians. But I am really fearful about Christian education, our Christian colleges, our Christian high schools and elementary schools, and with some things that maybe might be coming down the pike. You see, they might systematically take away some of these things that we're able to do within the church, and it's going to render the church powerless. It's going to render our message powerless, because we're not going to be able to serve the way that God wants us to serve. I've heard this question posed before. I think it's a good question to ask ourselves. Would the community weep if your church were to suddenly just say, we're pulling out of the city? Or would this community even notice if, for some crazy reason, East Columbus Christian Church had to close her doors? This is my concern for the church, and we've talked about this as elders and staff, is that from this moment on, thanks to COVID, our church may never be the same. The way we've done church, we may never go back to doing it the way that we were. Just things have changed. It may never be like it was. I hope that we are able to, but we may not be able to. We may never get some people back who were with us pre-COVID. And if our only goal each week, each month, is to make sure we've got a nice worship service, if our only goal as a church is to make sure that everything that happens here on Sunday morning goes on and we're not doing anything else outside of that, what's going to happen to the church? If we can't do it the way that we've done it in the past, what's going to happen? And so we have to be committed, we have to be devoted, we have to be creative in serving and connecting. I want us to think about what's going on in our world right now and in some of our communist countries, some of our Muslim countries, some things that are happening. I want you to hear me on this, because this is absolutely amazing. There are some churches who are not even allowed, in some countries, they're not even allowed to meet in buildings. And you know what's happening there? Their numbers are absolutely exploding. Christians in China are people in China are becoming Christians at record numbers because of Christians who are devoted to serving and connecting other people to Jesus. The largest belief group in China are atheists. In fact, if you look it up, Wikipedia, so you know it's true. It basically says the official religion of China is atheism. But the church in a land that is hostile towards Christianity is exploding. And I got to tell you, I don't know if for some reason, if tomorrow Christianity would become illegal in the United States of America, I'm not so sure that would happen here. We got to start thinking bigger than what's happening just here on the corner of Indiana Avenue and Monroe. We got to start reaching out. We got to start branching out. We've got to start serving, and we've got to start connecting people. 1955, the Los Angeles Police Department came up with the motto to protect and serve. Well, here in 2021, our church motto needs to be to connect and serve. If we can borrow that from the police department. In fact, made this nice little, there you go. Doesn't that look good? Doesn't that look all official? Shouldn't we make like bumper stickers, like, or maybe big door magnets to put them on the side of our, you know, we drive around, we are here to connect and serve. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe not. Okay, it's a little bit cheesy, I get it. But it should be our mindset that anybody that we come into contact with, our goal should be to connect them to Jesus. Well, serve them first and then connect them to Jesus. And then the last part of what I want to talk about today is we must be devoted to connecting and serving all people. Next week we'll get into the why and the how we do it. But the last part of our mission statement says that we do it through the good news of Jesus Christ. We'll talk again more about that next week. But the good news, according to Scripture, is for everyone. You know? It's not just a select few. It's for all people. We can go back to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. What did the angel say to Mary and Joseph right after Jesus was born? He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Catch that? Not just some of the people, not just the ones that we like. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." And I like the way the Message paraphrases John 3:16 in the following verses. Listen to this. "This is how much God loved the world," again, everyone, all people. "He gave His Son, His one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in Him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again." And here's the last part of that. "Anyone who trusts in Him is acquitted." East Columbus Christian Church is a community of followers devoted to connecting and serving all people through the good news of Jesus Christ. Not just people who look like us or people who think like we do or vote like we do or live like we do. The gospel's for all people. And this church should be for all people as well. Someone once said that the church service on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of our lives each week. Lifeway Research said, "Sunday morning remains one of the most segregated hours in American life, with more than 8 in 10 congregations made up of one predominant racial group, and most worshipers like it that way. 2/3 of American churchgoers, 67%, say their church has done enough to become racially diverse." Let me ask you, church, how do you feel about that? Have we done enough to become more racially diverse? Have we done enough recently to say to this city that this church is for everyone? What have we done to say that the good news is for everyone? And we gotta step it up. It's our mission statement. It's the gospel. It's not just some words that we came up with. It's the gospel. And we've got to develop this mindset within our church that says, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you have. I don't care who you love. Yeah, you heard me right. And I'm not saying we need to just say, hey, you do whatever you want to do, and we're going to endorse a sinful type of lifestyle. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to worry more about catching them and let God clean them. No. The reality of it all is this. There's no one in this room, with the exception of the Holy Spirit, because He's here with us, but there is no one in this room that is good enough. Not a single one of us. There's not a single one of us that is righteous. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all been forgiven of things that would keep us out of heaven. But while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And that's the good news. And that's for everyone. And we need to be devoted to sharing that message and connecting people and serving people in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there might be some of you here today that's never made that decision. We want to give you the chance to do that today as our worship team comes. If you're here today and you've never confessed Jesus as the Christ, and you've never repented of your sins, and you've never been baptized into Him, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. If you're watching at home, we encourage you to get in touch with us. We'd love to lead you through what it means to follow Jesus and what you need to do to place your hope and your trust in Him. We encourage you to make that decision today. I'm thankful that Dan brought up that whole story about St. Valentine on Valentine's Day. One piece of that story that I find interesting is that, you know what caused him to be beheaded? You know what caused Emperor Claudius to get so upset with St. Valentine that he decided he was going to cut his head off? St. Valentine tried to convert him to Christianity. And it ticked him off. St. Valentine was so devoted to following Jesus and connecting and serving that he was willing to stand in front of the emperor, knowing it could cost him his life, and share the gospel. That's the legend anyway. Something caused him to be beheaded, and that makes a lot of sense to me. But whether that's truth or whether that's myth, let me ask you, would you have that kind of devotion? I hope so. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to pray, and if you have a need this morning, we encourage you to come.